Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. This morning we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we talked about the importance of us as believers walking as children of light. We are children of light. In that passage, Paul was emphasizing the fact that the light that we have gives us clarity regarding the doctrine of the imminent return of our Savior to call us home, to take the rapture, to rapture the church out. So it's light that we have that helps us as far as our expectation of what's going to happen. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have the same terminology, but the emphasis is a little different. Same person writing to a different church. And notice in verse number 8, he says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So where this morning we were talking about light that was given from God to help them understand, here we're talking about light that was given by God to individuals that allow them to be a testimony to others. And our testimony is very, very important. Yesterday afternoon, Pastor Odom and I were at lunch and together and sitting in the restaurant and looking at some of the people, got talking, and he said, "You know, it's sad, but in our society today, for the most part, Christians don't take care to let their light shine. We don't. We go about our business as if we're just like everybody else. And we go through the motions, you know, we do things and we try to be careful not to do things that are offensive or not to disobey scriptural commands, that kind of thing. But in the back of our mind, there should be a sense of the importance of us letting others see Christ in us, letting our light shine. That's very, very important. And yet, in so many cases, that doesn't happen. So tonight we want to talk about what Paul says about letting our light shine. He doesn't use that terminology, but he says this: "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And so, and if we're going to look at verses 8 through 21 and look at each verse in sequence as we go through, and every one of them has something to say about the importance or the impact these things have on whether or not our light shines like it should. So I want you to notice, beginning in verse number 8, I want you to see our foundation. It's where everything begins. Notice in verse 8, he says, first of all, "For you were sometimes darkness." That has to do with our past. Every one of us came from an environment of darkness. Before you got saved, you were walking in darkness. You were living in darkness. We all were. We live in a dark world today, but we're not in darkness anymore. When a person becomes a believer, things are supposed to change. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the biggest thing that becomes new is the fact that we go from being in darkness to walking in light. I heard a story about a pig that got out of his pen. And he was wandering around in the hillside, out in the country somewhere, and he came upon a moonshiner still. And he got rummaging around in there, and he found some corn mash, and he ate a bunch of it, and he got drunk as a skunk. He started staggering back, you know, to, you know, his pig pen, and some of the other pigs around saw him. And so they went to the pig council and reported him. So the swine council had a meeting, and they called him in. because he didn't act. He wasn't acting like a pig. He was. He'd gotten outside the pen and gotten involved in some things. wasn't very good testimony for the pigs. And so they began to condemn him, and so he spoke up. This pig did, and he said, "Now look," said, "I realize that I made a mistake, and I got out there and I did this, you know. But if you'll just give me a second chance, please, if you'll just give me a second chance, I promise you that never again will I behave like a human." Pigs don't act that way, do they? I mean, pigs don't go out and get drunk. Pigs don't do things that human beings do. And that was an insult to the swine community that this pig had done this. You know, it's bad enough when a human starts acting in an inhuman way. That's not the way God intended for any man to act. That was not part of the nature that God gave us. I mentioned, I think on Wednesday night, you know, the fellow that said to err is human, but to forgive is divine. And we kind of take that phrase, to err is human, to make a mistake is human, or to do wrong is human, as being, you know, that's, it's natural. Humans, you know, it's just natural. He does wrong because that's what he's supposed to do. No, that's not what he's supposed to do. It's not even what unbelievers are supposed to do. They do that because they have a sin nature, but that's not how God made them. We weren't made to live that way. And it's bad enough when an unsaved person does that. It's especially bad when a believer does that. We were in darkness. But look at the second part of the verse. It says, "But now are ye light in the Lord." Everything changed. We came out of the darkness into the light. As a result of that, things are supposed to be different in our life. We ought not to love the things of darkness. They ought to be distasteful to us, and we ought to want to stay away from it. And yet, in our society today, there are many who call themselves Christians who have made a profession of faith. Whether or not they're genuinely saved, we don't know, because only God knows that, and that individual knows what he did in his heart. But for a believer to go back and live the old kind of life, that's not what God intended. So in our past, we came out of darkness. In our present, we are supposed to be children of light. We are light in the Lord, the Bible says. We've gained light from God. And then our purpose is found there in that verse. We're to walk as children of life. Every man, every step we take, we ought to take with the prospect in mind of honoring the Lord and staying away from the darkness. We ought to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our path so that we stay away from that which is darkness, that which is going to create an issue for us and keep us from being able to be the testimony that God intends for us to have. So that's our foundation. I want you to notice, secondly, our fruit. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now, fruit, again, we've talked about this in the past. Fruit is not something we can produce on our own. Fruit is something that grows naturally in the life of a believer who is walking with the Lord. The Spirit of God is the one who produces fruit. We can't manufacture it. It's not possible for us, by our choice or our determination, to love like we're supposed to. It's not possible for us to be as kind as we ought to be. If you go back and look in the book of John and you see what Jesus said to his disciples, everything he said had to do with them demonstrating the character qualities that they have gained as a result of their relationship with him. And the Spirit of God is the one that produces that in the life of a yielded believer. And so we as believers have a responsibility to bear fruit. We don't do it of our own power. We don't do it because we choose to. It happens because we're yielded to the Lord. And so Here he says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Three things that are pretty important. Are you a good person? Well, there are lots of unsaved people think they are. What do they mean by that? They mean they're good because they do good things. I treat my fellow man with respect, and I try to be kind to others. I try to be a good person. The truth is, there is none good, you know, absolutely good except God, and the only goodness we have is what He gives us. And we can only share what He gives us. We can't share what we don't have. It only comes from God. So goodness comes from God. Righteousness comes from God. There's none of us that are righteous in our own accord. It's only what He gives to us. When Jesus died on the cross, He took our sin upon Himself and He gave us His righteousness because we didn't have any of our own. And then goodness and righteousness and truth. Jesus, the Bible says, He came and He was full of grace and truth. And we get truth from our relationship with the Lord. And so often we think about truth, we think about telling the truth and being truthful with others, and that's important. But truth is far more than that. It's a quality that we have within that makes us either embrace and adhere to the truth it's not just what we do, it's who we are on the inside. And it's very, very important. So, our foundation, we were in darkness, but we are now light, and we're to walk as children of light. Our fruit, found in goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then number four is proving it, what is acceptable to the Lord, doing what is pleasing to God. That's part of our fruit as well, being in the center of His will and purpose for our life. And so, our foundation, our fruit. Thirdly, notice our fellowship. Look beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." So we have three things there. First of all, he deals with relationship. We're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's interesting that Paul characterizes the works of darkness as being unfruitful. Darkness doesn't produce any fruit. They produce works. The flesh doesn't produce any fruit. It produces works. But we're not supposed to be depending upon our good works to impress the Lord. We're to allow the Spirit of God to produce what needs to be done in our life through us. And that comes from a yieldedness. But that which is done in darkness are unfruitful works. And it says we're not to have fellowship with them, but we're to rather reprove them. We're to stay away from them, and we're to reprove them. And our attitude is supposed to be that we treat them with disdain, that we're not pleased by them, we don't embrace them, we don't like them, they're harmful to us, and so we're going to stay away from them. So relationship. Notice secondly, it talks about our report. Look at verse 12. It says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." You know, our society has become more crass. And, you know, I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse. It's unbelievable the language that is considered just common. Again, Brother Odom and I were talking yesterday. He drives a school bus. And he picks up kids, you know, that go to public school. And those kids they've got their language, what they say. And he hears all kinds of stuff. And I'm saying, I'm shocked when I hear people. He said, "Oh, Brother Hyman, you live a a charmed life or whatever. He said, you're not around, so you don't really hear it the way it is. I hear enough to know that it's becoming our conversation in general is becoming very depraved. News reporters who never, you know, the FCC would not have allowed them to use some of the language that they just blurt out now, just commonplace. Why is that like that? It's because everybody has just said, well, that's the way everybody else talks, so I'm going to talk that way as well. That's how kids think. They hear their parents do it, and that's what they do. What is our attitude? We certainly are not supposed to repeat any of that stuff. We're not supposed to report those things that we know about other people that go on in secret. You know, there are certain things that nobody should ever say anything about any of it. But we broadcast it on TV now. That's our society. We as Christians need to stay as far away from that as we can. Watch what we say. Ask the Lord to help us control our tongue. And it's not just using foul language, but it's talking about things that are displeasing to the Lord. We ought to stay away from that stuff. And then notice in verse number 13, there's the matter of revelation. Notice what it says. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. People ought to be able to tell by our testimony, the way we respond to things, or you know, that kind of thing, that you know, that what they're doing maybe is not what it ought to be. And I don't mean by us saying to them, hey, look, you ought not to talk that way. They ought to just know it. We had a situation recently where someone came in, we were talking and going through some things, and these individual, it was a couple of ladies that were in a relationship, and they had already said some things that were a little off color. And then in the conversation, as we were talking, they asked about what I did, and I said, well, I pastor a church. And boy, everything changed. In just a little bit, the lady was talking about insurance. And she said, I pay all this money for insurance. And she said, it doesn't pay up. And then she stopped and said, it doesn't pay nothing. Why did that happen? Because she found out that I was a preacher. She knew what she was saying was not. That shouldn't. When light comes into the picture, then things ought to change. Their attitude will be different because it makes it obvious that what they're doing, what they're saying, is not right. So revelation. See our foundation, our fruit, our fellowship. Number four, we see our focus. Look beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verses 14, 15, and 16, we see three things. First of all, it says in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Wake up, arise from the dead. Sleeping, sometimes you can look like you're dead. And for Christians, that's not a good thing. We ought not be dead. We ought not to be sleeping. We ought to be awake, and we ought to be alive, and it ought to be obvious that we're alive. I heard about an elderly lady who had gotten back in, her husband was dead, and she found a man that she was interested in. The guy was over 90 years old, and she started dating him, and she went out one night with him and came back, and she was talking to her daughter, I think it was, and her daughter said, "How'd it go?" And she said, "Well, I had to slap him in the face 3 times. And the daughter said, "What happened? Did he get fresh?" He said, "No. I thought he was dead." A lot of Christians need somebody to slap them in the face 3 times. Wake them up. We're supposed to be alive. We're supposed to be awake. We're supposed to be alive. It's supposed to be obvious. We're to be awake and aware of what's going on and where we are. And as we seek to honor the Lord with our lives, He'll give us guidance. Then in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We need to be careful to seek God's wisdom as we make choices in our life, as we walk daily in our lives. Without wisdom, our light's not going to shine. Without wisdom, we're not going to be where God intends for us to be. So we're to be awake or aware. We're to use wisdom. And then thirdly, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to avoid waste. We only have so much time in this life. And we need to use it wisely. And we need to be careful not to waste the time. Some of you probably saw the family in Alabama where the young lady, they were going to the airport, they were getting on a plane to go on a mission trip. And the bus had an accident, and this family's, the daughter in the family, she died. She went home to be with the Lord. Very faithful young lady, loved the Lord. They had her journal. The mother read part of the journal from that while she was on the bus and talking about how excited she was about what the Lord was allowing her to do and her opportunity to be able to help those folks over there and be involved in their lives and to share Christ with them. And then, and she had some passages from 1st, 2nd Peter in there. And then one of her friends read the last text that she got from her. And the little girl, she was a teenage girl, but she said, I don't remember the exact words, but it said, she talked about the fact that our life is like a vapor. And she made the statement, we only have this moment for sure, and we need to use it for the Lord. Boy, you talk about, it's a teenage girl. Be wonderful if some Christians have been saved for years and years and years would get a hold of that concept and realize that we just have a brief time on this earth. We don't know when the Lord's going to take us. We need to make sure that our time is used wisely, that we're focused on doing what He wants us to do, and that we don't just waste our lives. You know, the older I get, the more urgency there seems to be as I think about the fact that it's my time is drawing short. And what I'm going to do, I better get busy and do because I'm not going to have a long time. And so we need to be very careful not to waste the time that God has given us. And then finally, number 5, I want you to see our function beginning in verse 17. This is how it all works. If we're going to walk in light, these are things that have to be true in our lives on a daily basis. Verse number 17, he says, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do you conduct your life? We get up in the morning, what do? Well, I've got my schedule, I'm doing this and this and this and this and this. Our first thought when we get up in the morning ought to be of doing the will of God for that day. Our first prayer, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we woke up in the morning and the first thing we said was, Lord, thank you for this new day and the opportunities you've given me. Help me to live in the center of your will today. Guide my steps and help me to be what you want me to be. And help me to let my light shine. That ought to be our attitude every day of our lives. Understanding the will of God and seeking His power to accomplish His will. So we have to know God's will and desire to be in it if our light's going to shine. Number two, look at verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you're going to be able to live your life in a way, if we're going to be able to let our light shine the way it's supposed to, then we're going to have the help of the Spirit of God in our lives. We're going to have to be yielded to Him. He's going to have control of us. He's going to have to be able to get our attention and prompt us as to what we ought to do or how we ought to respond in every situation, every day, all the time. We need to be conscious of His presence. So many Christians only think about God. They only think about the presence of God when they come to church. You ought to think about it in the morning when you wake up. You ought to think about it as you're driving down the road. You ought to be thinking about it whatever you're doing. That's part of your life. It's a part of who we are. And it ought to be a conscious thing for us, a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. If we're going to be the light that God wants us to be, then we have to be conscious of God's presence, of the Spirit of God's presence in our life and what He's trying to do with us. Notice in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When do you sing? Well, we sing every Sunday we come to church. Sing on Wednesday night when we come. Sometimes we don't have the right note, but we sing anyway. You won't understand that unless you come on Wednesday night when Marianne's working late sometime. But what about in other times during the day? Now, sometimes I sing, but sometimes I like to whistle. That's an inside joke. The Odoms understand that. I can't whistle at all. And we had a time on a trip where we played Name That Tune. I was driving, trying to keep awake, and he was sitting next to me. And so I said, all right, I'm going to whistle a tune. You tell me what it is. And so I whistled, and he said, I don't know what that is. I said, well, listen again. And I whistled again. He said, I don't know what that is. And I said, well, listen one more time. And I did, and he said, well, you're not whistling it right. I can't understand it. I said, well, you whistle it, and I'll figure out what it is. I can't whistle. But the Lord knows what I'm whistling. The Lord knows what I'm humming, and I sing. And I, you know, that ought to be, the joy of the Lord ought to be present in our lives. Whatever we're doing, we ought to have a song in our heart because of what God has done for us. And then in verse 20, the Bible says we're supposed to be rejoicing or giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful for all that God has done for us. Our light won't shine if we're unhappy about what God's doing in our lives. We won't have much of an impact if we're complaining about circumstances that God has allowed to occur in our lives. The greatest testimony that a believer ever has is when he is grateful in the midst of a time of testing. When we rejoice in those times when things don't go well. That's the greatest opportunity to let our light shine. And so we need to be careful to give thanks in all things. And then finally, verse 21, the greatest evidence of the fact that we want our light to shine is found in a humility in our heart and a willingness to serve one another. The Bible says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. We need to be not so eager to have our way, but ask the Lord to help us to be a blessing to others, serving one another, submitting to one another, and letting God use us to let our light shine in that way. People make a choice about the authenticity of what you say by what they see in your life. Now, where does it all come from? Turn to back to the book of John, if you would, very briefly, and we'll be finished. John chapter 12 and verse 35, the Bible said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you." Who is he talking about? He's talking about himself. "Little while, and I'm with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Verse 36, "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." That's how we become children of light, is believing in the light. And who is the light? That's the Lord Jesus. One other thing I want to call your attention to. You ever stop to think about the first recorded statement we have that God made in Scripture? It's Genesis 1 and verse number 3. And what does it say? "And God said, let there be light." When we got saved, we put our faith in Christ. That's where our light comes from. When we got saved, the Lord said, "Let there be light." And he was talking about us. And we as believers need to be careful to let our light shine. We are the light of the Lord. Therefore, we ought to walk as children of light. And it only comes as a result of us submitting to Him and letting Him do His work in our lives and through us. Are you walking in the light tonight? Is God's light shining through you? It should be. And that's the only way that we have a testimony that will honor the Lord and point others to the Savior that we say lives in our heart. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed.